Today, as we take some time and look into the Gospel of Mark and dig into the truth of the gift of God in Jesus Christ, cover one of the major problems that arises in religion. I wrote this message for December 10 of 2023, titled it The Leaven of Religion, and we are in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8. And we'll start at verse 14 and read to verse 21. So my outline, number one, Jesus warns, be careful. Two, are you stubborn? Three, can you understand? So those are actually quotes from Jesus. Jesus warns, be careful. I think that's something we get to take a heads up and take a look at. And then he asks, are you stubborn? Which I think is probably another idea that we should take a serious look at. And then, can you understand? Can you really understand what this life I'm offering to you is and is like? So my introduction goes like to this. Today we'll examine Jesus' warning to his disciples then, and to us disciples today, about the danger of wrong teaching. Mark mentions the yeast of the Pharisees and Herod. Matthew's parallel gospel talks about yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So Mark does Pharisees and Herod, and Matthew does Pharisees and Sadducees. Mark's intended audience was the Gentiles then and the Gentiles today. Mark's audience would not have known much about the Sadducees, but they would have known Herod. Matthew, on the other hand, was writing a gospel to the Jews, so they would relate to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So what do you think about all these different groups having a problem with yeast? Yeast in this passage symbolizes evil. So whether I use the word yeast or I use the word leaven, it symbolizes something evil. Just only a small amount of yeast is needed to make a batch of bread rise up. So the hard-heartedness of the religious and political leaders could contaminate the entire society and make it rise up against Jesus. That's the end product of what Jesus is talking about here, is that they will contaminate the whole culture and cause the nation to rise up and cry for Christ to be crucified. So our outline, leaven of the Pharisees and Herod. Our text is Mark 8, 14 to 21. And I chose the new NIV Reader's Version. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread. They had only one loaf with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and watch out for the yeast of Herod. They talked among each other. They said, he must be saying because we don't have any bread. Jesus knew what they were saying, so he asked him, why are you talking about having no bread? Why can't you see or understand? Are you stubborn? Do you have eyes and still not see? Do you have ears and don't hear? And don't you remember? Earlier I took 5 loaves for 5,000. How many baskets of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. Later I broke 7 loaves for 4,000. How many baskets of pieces did you pick up? 7, they answered. He said to them, can't you understand yet? That's the end of our reading for today. So number one on our outline, Jesus warns, be careful. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Anytime I read something like that, be careful, I think it's worth taking a serious look at. Oftentimes in my life, I'll be departing from somebody and they'll say, hey, be careful. And I'll chuckle and say, well, okay, not really intending to be overly careful, but I will acknowledge it. A on your outline, watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees, and your blank is yeast. So A on your outline, watch out for the yeast of Pharisees, and your blank is yeast. Leaven or yeast in the New Testament most often symbolizes the evil influence of sin. The leaven, the yeast of the Pharisees, included both their false teaching and their hypocritical behavior. The leaven of Herod Antipas was his immoral, corrupt conduct. The Pharisees and the Herodians were called and aligned against Jesus. So even though the Pharisees and the Herodians didn't really get along that way, the Herodians were Sadducees and they didn't agree with the Pharisees, but they united together to kill Jesus because of what he's saying. B on your outline, they talked about this with each other. They talked about this with each other. And I gave you three blanks. Talked each other. Why are you talking about no bread, Jesus said. Jesus' question rebuked the disciples for completely missing his point. When he said, watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and the yeast of Herod, he wasn't saying we don't have bread to eat. They missed the whole point. Jesus was and is concerned with spiritual truth more than the mundane physical matters of life. Jesus' top priority is spiritual. Not to say that he doesn't take care of our physical needs, the mundane things of life. He does. He cares about every detail. But he is way, way, way more concerned about the spiritual than about the physical. Jesus' concern for them and us was the problem of a hard heart. That's the problem he's talking about. In Jesus' illustration, the Pharisees and Herod had a hard heart. It caused them to be rebellious, spiritually insensitive, and unable to understand spiritual truth. So if you discover any of those things in your life, rebellious, insensitive to the spiritual realm, the spirits going around you, find yourself unable to understand spiritual truth when you see it or read it, problem is probably heart problem. It's an internal problem. See on your outline, Jesus knows what you're saying. Jesus knows what you're saying. Knows is your blank. Jesus used the disciples' discussion about bread to rebuke them. Jesus was disappointed that his disciples lacked spiritual perception. He was talking about a spiritual thing, yeast of the Pharisees, pride, hypocritical behavior, wrong teaching. And they thought their tummies. We don't have enough bread for our tummies. So our outline, the leaven of religion, number one, Jesus warned, be careful. We took a little look at that. Number two, are you stubborn? Can you relate with this attitude and life pattern? Are you stubborn? Would you admit that you are at times stubborn? I don't even have to blink and say, oh yeah, I'm stubborn. I'll try to make a square peg fit in a round hole for a long time before I give up and say, okay, let's find a different hole to put this in. I will spend an inappropriate amount of time trying to make something happen that obviously is not tended to happen, but I'm stubborn enough that I think I can get to work. I'm stubborn like that. A on your outline, why can't you understand? And your blank is why. Why can't you understand? Okay, why do you think these disciples can't understand what Jesus is teaching? Why do you think that? They're in the boat. He's talking about Pharisees and Herod, and they can't seem to understand what he's saying. Why is that? What do you think? I told you I thought it was a hard heart. What do you think it is? Jesus, I think, is rebuking disciples for their hard-heartedness. So to keep score, Jesus is saying the problem is hard-heartedness. Okay, that's it. Hard-heartedness, that's the problem. The problem has infected the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, and the disciples. That's a... Excuse me. That's a big list of infected religious-seeking people. All of these groups are seeking God. Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians, and disciples. But they all are infected with this hard-heartedness problem. So when I look at that, I think the odds of me not having a problem with this, pretty slim. Now, I don't know if you would agree with those odds, but if all the religious groups of that period of time had a problem with it, everybody had a problem with it, I'm thinking this is something that maybe you should take a look at too. The good news is that the Gentiles had not yet been infected by this yeast. Sadly, I question if that statement would be true today. At that time, the Gentiles on the other side of the lake had not been contaminated with this problem of yeast. They had not began to be puffed up. They had not become hypocritical. They have not started teaching false things. But I'm not sure that I could say the Gentiles of today live that way. It appears to me that the Gentiles of the generation I've lived in have this problem of yeast. The religious-seeking people have this problem. Be on your outline. You have eyes and don't see. Eyes don't see are your three blanks. Jesus' reference to the blindness then reminds me of the miracle that he did just a little bit ago in Mark 8, 24, 26. And I wonder if he's referring back to it, that he just a little bit ago opened this blind man's eyes, and now he's attempting to do the same thing with his disciples, to open their eyes so they can see spiritual truth. I wonder if those two are connected. The form of the Greek word used here for bread refers to multiple loaves and anticipates Jesus' question about the number of loaves broken in each feeding story. And I got that from John MacArthur. But his point was there was a couple of loaves there, and that would work really well with Jesus saying, how many loaves did I use here? How many loaves did I use there? Now, we've got this many loaves. You think I can do that here? Which he could. Jesus is probably warning the disciples about the same lack of discernment that characterizes all his opponents. I think that's what he's warning them about. The Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians don't seem to have the discernment to get spiritual truth. In the big picture view of this, Jesus invokes a prophetic critique of religious Israel from Jeremiah 5:21 and Ezekiel 12:2. And this is about the same thing as he did earlier with Isaiah 6:9-10 questions. So if they knew their Old Testament books, they would realize that Jesus was quoting to them what Jeremiah had said to his generation, what Ezekiel had said to his generation, and what Isaiah had said to his generation, Jesus is saying to their generation, and I'm doing the best I can to say to our generation. It's not a new problem. It's a widespread deception of the enemy. And the prophets of old talked about it. The prophet Jesus is talking about it, and I'm doing the best I can. Jesus is also affirming that his mission is first to the Jewish people, although he's demonstrated and illustrated that he invited in, included non-Jewish people. So just before he crossed over to this side of the lake, he had spent time with the Gentiles on the other side of the lake. He obviously was inviting the Gentiles in. But he had spent the first couple years of his ministry totally focused on the Jews. The Apostle Paul makes a similar remark in Romans 1:16. We were just reading through that Thursday in our reading through the Bible, and I thought, isn't that interesting that Paul's talking about the same problem of leaven when he's writing to the church in Rome, and he only gets to verse 16 in chapter 1 before he starts talking about this problem Jesus is talking about. Warning the church in Rome about this yeast, this leaven, this problem of hard-heartedness. See on your outline, you have ears and don't hear. So your three blanks, ears, don't hear. Don't you remember, Jesus said? Jesus' roughness to deafness may be referring to his healing of the deaf man just a chapter ago in Mark. The man was deaf, and Jesus healed him. Maybe in that time, in that sequence, he was alluding back to what he did for that man, offering the same to the disciples if they were willing. Jesus' double warning indicates his strong admonition. Yeast permeates and spreads and grows. That's the way it works. You stir it in a little bit and it just works its way through there. Yeast is a symbol of evil or corruption. 1 Corinthians 5, 6 and 8 and Galatians 5, 9 both talk about that. We happen to be reading 1 Corinthians this week. So when I read 1 Corinthians 5, 6 to 9, it touched me. Here's what it said. Your bragging is not good. It is like yeast. Don't you know that just a little yeast works its way through the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast. Be like a new batch of dough without yeast. That's what you really are, because Christ has offered up for us. He is our Passover lamb. So let us keep the feast, but not the old yeast. I'm talking about yeast that is full of hatred and evil. Let us keep the feast with bread made without yeast. Let us do it with bread that is honest and true. That's the end. So Paul's writing to the church in Corinth in chapter 5. He's covering the same thing Jesus is talking about here. In Romans chapter 1, he's covering the same thing with the church there. It's probably a good idea if you and I stop and look at this. When we look at yeast in the context of Passover, leaven symbolizes all that must be removed from Israel when the nation transfers its allegiance from Pharaoh to God. That's what was going on in the Passover. They were being delivered from Pharaoh. Here, the Pharisees and Herod are obstacles to the kingdom. Jesus might be warning the disciples against requesting a sign to increase their faith. Maybe that's one of the things that he's saying. Oh, you can't see, so you're going to ask me for another sign so that you could see. In Matthew, the yeast is identified with the teaching of the Pharisees, and that's in Matthew 16:6. That's a parallel passage to this. In Luke, it's their hypocrisy in Luke 12:1. So Mark, Matthew, and Luke all cover this, but they each bring in a different piece of color commentary. Matthew focuses on the teaching, Luke on the hypocrisy of these people, and Mark about hard-heartedness. After this, nothing more is said about yeast or Pharisees. In the parallel account of this event in Matthew 16, 12, the disciples finally did understand and get Jesus' point. So if you read through the whole event in Matthew, and we've said before that Mark just gives us a basic outline. If you want the color commentaries, you got to look at the other boys, what they wrote, Matthew and Luke. But in Matthew, by the end of the story, they actually understand what he's saying. Mark doesn't put that in, but that's the good news, they do. So our outline, the leaven of religion. Jesus warns, be careful. Number two, are you stubborn? Number three, can you understand? It's the first time in my outline in a long time that there aren't any bullet points. It's just a blank space. Jesus repeats the question from verse 17, but the disciples still don't get it. This is Jesus' most severe rebuke of his disciples in the whole Gospel of Mark. There was a bright spot. They didn't understand yet what Jesus was about, but they will get it eventually. So, do we understand the problem of yeast? What do you think? Do you think it's possible that this has affected religious-seeking people today? What do you think the chances are? If Jeremiah's generation, Ezekiel's generation, Isaiah's generation, Jesus' generation, Paul's generation, all have this problem, what do you think the chances are that we probably have this problem too? Something we should look at. I'm thinking, I've seen this in my many years of service to many different churches. When I typed that in the other day and I wrote many years, I kind of chuckled. Because it's amazing to me that for the past 40 years, that's just phenomenal, I've got to have the opportunity to go to a multitude of churches and a multitude of different places and do the best I can to explain this resurrection life of Jesus Christ, the problems and the solution. And I've seen this yeast attitude in many different churches. And one illustration is the attitude of hard-heartedness today is expressed in the belief that poverty is always caused by laziness and that helping poor only enables them. I've actually heard that in churches. Religious people talking about this, that the only reason people are poor is just because they're lazy. And if we give them, we're just encouraging them, enabling them to be like that. That's this hard-heartedness. Or I've seen this one several times too. Worship is best when it's conducted in one way, our way, which has worked well for years. There's no need for us to be changing. I've seen that hard-hearted attitude a lot. We've been worshiping like this for 40 years. And there's no reason why we need to change our worship now. But the reality is, it's a whole different generation. It's a whole different context of people. In order to relate with this generation of people, we have to try to be relevant to this generation of people with authentic worship. But many churches refuse to change. We're not changing. And that's it. Hard-heartedness. Or the hard-heartedness that evangelism doesn't seem to work with these people. People are never going to change, so why do we need to do it? Seen that attitude? Okay, we've tried to evangelize these people in our community. It didn't work. It's never going to work. They're not going to change. We don't need to do this. That's the hard-hearted attitude. For one to join the group of hard hearts, it requires only one pledge. One must refuse to listen to Jesus' questions. That's it. If you aren't listening, not just hearing it, But listening to the questions Jesus is asking, it's really easy to join the hard-hearted team. Don't be hard-hearted. Be open to Christ's truth. Let Jesus and the Holy Spirit soften your heart. Here's my conclusion. In this section of Mark, Jesus completed his ministry in Galilee and began his journey up to Jerusalem. It was time to leave the crowds, limit the miracles, and teach to the disciples about his impending death. Over the past 2 years, Jesus performed a lot of miracles and did a lot of amazing events and healings. But here is where that evidence of him being the Messiah ends. In this passage, that's where it stops. This starts the developing of his disciples to live open-minded, open-eyed, with open ears to see, notice him at work spiritually. That's what he's starting to do with these people. We would do well to pay close attention to what Jesus does privately with the disciples from here on. In many ways, this is how he disciples us. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, our God is so wonderful. Humble before you we are. And we ask with honest hearts that you would open our minds to see, open our hearts to be softened with the water of your word, and gently lead us into the path of righteousness that you have given us so graciously. Humbly, we do this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Light my heart on fire. 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 This I choose to follow you with all my heart's devotion. Living set this world in motion for my King, an offering of my heart's affection. At your feet I find hope, rest, redemption. Here I am with open hands, a life in surrender. Have control so together, perfect love has won my heart and all that's within me. It's a joy to give all I am for my King.
Light my heart on fire. Light my heart on fire.
where the Spirit of the Lord is, where the Spirit of the Lord is.